given us to praise you and to sanctify your holy name. We gather together today as your people in worship of you. And that's what we came here for, and that's what we're going to do. We pray your blessing upon us during this hour. Give us what we need, dear God, today in these moments to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, and I am grateful to all of you and just love the fact that you come week after week and praise God every single week, and I know that it continues outside of these walls. I am especially grateful to those of you who are visiting with us and our guests today. We welcome you and hope you feel at home among us, and if you have any needs whatsoever, please speak to someone, me or Ron Coleman, who's back on the drums back here, Jamie Stowers, who's in the choir. We can help you with anything that you need, or just the person who's next to you on the pew. And what we're going to do now is greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
How is everyone on this beautiful day?
Awesome.
Yay. I am Diane Rood. I am serving as your liturgist for the month of June. So we have a few announcements today. One is, we haven't mentioned in a while, we do have prayer cards in the pews in front of you. So if you have any prayer needs or praises, thank you, Betty. They're yellow. And also, if you are serving the Lord in any capacity within the church, the food bank, prayer, visiting people in the hospital, we have the salty service cards. Then you just put those in the service, in the offerings, so that we can keep track of it for conference. Thank you. Also, I think Bob has an announcement in the back. Thank you. And Larry Rood has an announcement for the food bank.
Yes. As you know, the kids are out of school and at home. One of our biggest needs for the food pantry is peanut butter and jelly. It's a staple that works great throughout any time. If a child's hungry, peanut butter and jelly is a great way to nourish them. So, please, peanut butter and jelly.
And thank you for all of those that volunteered on Friday. We actually fed about 40 some odd, 48 people maybe not that many, in the 40s. So it was a lot of families, and it is a blessing. Any other announcements? Okay. If you turn to the back of your bulletin, and we will do our opening words. Our Father, God our Father, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth.
We are your children, and we are all of your family.
Christ the Son, our Redeemer and Savior, you lived and died for us all.
You lived again and have prepared the way for us.
Holy Spirit, the Sustainer, you move in us and among us.
We follow your wisdom and feel your presence.
God, triune, three in one, help us to know you more fully.
Guide us in this time of worship. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 145, we will sing Morning Has Broken. Please turn to 889. We'll have our affirmation of faith. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify.
morning. How's everybody doing today? I need to make an announcement to the parents, grandparents of all these lovely children. The teachers and leaders of our children's church ministry have said they're taking the summer off. So there will not be children's church beginning today and going through the rest of the summer. We'll begin when school starts back again. But we're not thinking about school, are we? School is out, right? Is there anybody in school? Nobody's in school? Okay. Oh, Jaden's in school. All right, Jaden. Now, I have a test for you today. Speaking of school, here's, everybody says, a test. Goodness gracious. You're good at tests? All right. Well, the test is this question. What is the most important word in all of the Bible? In all of the Bible. What? God. That's a very important word. That's for sure. We wouldn't be here without God. But that's not the word I'm thinking of. What is another very important word that's in the Bible? What other kind of words can you think of? What? Love. Oh, I was hoping somebody would say love. Thank you, Zachary. That is a very important word in the Bible, but that's not the word I was thinking of. Anybody else have any other word? Megan? Prayer. Oh, that's a good word. That's a wonderful word, but that's not the word I was thinking of. All of it? He says all of it. There's lots in there. Bradley, that's kind of cheating. Because, yes, all of it is very, very important. But there's one word I was thinking of. What is it? Jesus. That's a very, very good word. But the word that I was thinking of is a word, what? Faith. Oh, somebody else chimed in. Faith. Oh, that's a wonderful word. That's a great word. But that's not the word I was thinking of. You'll never get it, so I might as well tell you. How did you know that? Miss Andy is cheating again because he was at the first service. The word that is the most important word in all of Scripture is a small little word, and it's with. It's with. God is with us. That is the promise. Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And we are together. We are with each other and with God. And so that is the most important word because it connects us all together as a family of God. God with us. And I am so grateful to you for being here with me. Thank you so much. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We praise your holiness, dear God, today, and thank you that you never leave our side. You are with us. And we give you the thanks and the praise, dear God, for this wonderful promise that saves our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome. Did you find it? Come on, you gotta find one. Good job. Okay, there you go. You're welcome, sweetie. Continue to worship and serve our Lord today with the giving of our gifts. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. For all good gifts, dear God, we give you thanks and praise. And pray, dear God, that you will receive us and the gifts that we bring to honor your holy name and to spread your love in the world. Amen.
Give us just a minute, we're going to practice it first. Robin just got in music.
Thank you.
Accord, praises to our God. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I've been at annual conference this week along with Ron Coleman, who was our lay delegate, and Larry Rood, who was there representing the Society of St. Andrew in our expo center. This was in Orlando. We've been for the last 2 years, we've been meeting in Orlando at the Buena Vista Palace Hotel, but this is the last year we're there. Next year we're moving back to Lakeland and to Florida Southern College for annual conference. But I want to thank you for your prayers and support while we were there. And Ron will, not today, but soon, bring us his report from annual conference, and you'll get to hear more specifically the details of the experience there. But it was a wonderful experience this year. It was a great time to be together in one accord, as the song says. It was beautiful. The theme of the week was Revive Us Again. Revive Us Again. It was beautiful. So this week, the only one I am aware of that has changed, although, actually, I just found out that Sharon Harris is home. Beth told me that she saw her in Walmart, so we know that Sharon Harris is back home again, and that's a good thing. And we need to keep her surrounded with prayer. And Bev Harbin is now at the Life Care Center recovering from her open-heart surgery. She was in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and so is relieved to be out of the hospital and now on the road to rehab and recovery. So we pray for her this morning as well. And as you know that I like to do, I like us to spend some moments in quiet meditation. And sometimes it helps to close your eyes, to bow your heads, and to take some deep breaths, as if you're breathing in God's very spirit. Because that's how close to you God is. When I say God is with you, sense his presence surrounding you. Call upon his name, and if you feel led, share the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs God's healing touch to surround them today in a very special way. Ben, Katie, Beth, and Anna. We bring all of these before you, precious Lord. Lay them at your feet. And know with confidence that you hear our prayers today. We offer them to you as an offering for all your beloved children everywhere, dear Lord. Give them what they need. You know the need before we do ourselves. Give us, dear God, the power of your presence. You are as close to us and walk with us as our very breath, dear God. May we breathe in your spirit and breathe out your love in action for the world to know and to be called to your throne and answer, dear God, what you have placed upon our lives today to do and to be as your people. Give us all, dear God, the power of your love. Give us all, dear God, what we need today. We pray for the world that is so broken and needs to know of your healing love. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the poor. We pray for those who have not today. We pray, dear God, that we will be your instruments. We pray, dear God, that you will help us and teach us and be with us as we strive to live into the prayer that you have taught us when we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 389, we will sing Freely, Freely.
Born again in Jesus' name.
Please be seated.
The scripture reading today is Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As Christians, there are three things that God requires of us. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, love God with everything. Love our neighbor as ourselves is number two. And the last is go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. To make disciples means to be witnesses of Christ, in order to bring others into a relationship with Christ. At the end of Matthew, before Jesus ascends to the Father, his last words to his followers were not, "Go and find a comfortable church and have covered dish dinners." His last words were not, "Go and sing the songs you like in worship." Jesus didn't say, "Try to do some good every once in a while." Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." This is called the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. The church is the only institution in the world that exists for those outside of it. Unfortunately, many churches don't even see this as a suggestion. Instead, it has become the great omission. Now, as the church has turned inward over the last 30 or 40 years, maybe even longer, it has lost sight of its mission to make disciples. This is one of the reasons why the church is struggling to grow today. We've become inward focused. We're focusing on what is convenient and comfortable and pleasing to us, rather than remembering that we exist. We are here not for ourselves, but for others. My friends, the statistics don't look very good. We're not replenishing ourselves with a new generation of disciples. We're not reaching younger people. Fewer and fewer churches are bringing even one new person to Christ in a year. Why can't the church today be more like the New Testament church, the early church, the Acts church? And the answer comes through something that a man called A.W. Tozer said. He said, "If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, but no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would have stopped and everybody would have known the difference. Are we doing what matters? Is the Holy Spirit the driving force of the church? If we are to reclaim the fire of the Spirit the early church had, if we are to share our witness effectively, we must be willing to open ourselves to the movement of the Holy Spirit. That's what the early followers of Christ did. They were not sophisticated people. They were not seminary trained. They hadn't read books on church growth. They simply made themselves available to the Holy Spirit. And look what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Each one heard them speaking in his own language. What happened on the day of Pentecost was that a bunch of people from all over the place, all speaking different languages, all coming from different nationalities and cultures, heard the gospel in their own language. In other words, the good news of the saving love of Jesus Christ was communicated clearly to them. The Holy Spirit did it through them because they were simply willing to be used. The Holy Spirit broke through the communication barriers of language, and the gospel translated. Now, isn't it interesting that here in 2017, with all of our miraculous communication technology, we still have communication problems? Isn't it interesting that in spite of our advances in Bible translation and the production of gimmicks, that people are turned off by religion and the church? It seems we are good at information, but not communication. How is it that the early church was able to communicate so clearly and we have so much trouble? The answer is revealed through this cartoon that I found in a journal called Leadership Journal. A church secretary is holding the phone and hollering to the pastor in the other room. She says, "A man from Ripley's, believe it or not, wants a picture of someone on fire for the Lord." "Do we have one?" she says. Where then is our passion and for God and love for God? Where is our passion and our love for people, those who do not yet know God? This is what translates. And that's what translated at Pentecost. And that's what translates today. When you forgive and everyone else wants revenge, that translates. When you are loving and everyone else is hateful, that translates. When you don't give up on people when everyone else wants to, that translates. There is a debate in the church right now on how to be relevant in a postmodern world. Because the church is struggling to grow, we are falling all over ourselves trying to reach the next generation. And I went to a meeting where they discussed this very thing. We talked about gimmicks and models and strategies, and there's a place for that, but I sometimes wonder if we're trying so hard to be with it that we just don't get it. We need to be in touch with the world, but not in sync with the world. You know what I think? I think people respond to real people who have a real love and passion for God. The gospel does not have to be dressed up, dolled up, souped up, or given a makeover. The gospel does fine by itself. The gospel translates. And the early church knew this. The power of the early church was rooted in prayer. And we're about to go through a program on 40 days of prayer, right? And we hope that you will participate with us. Where can they get their books? In the church office? In the church office. They're right there in the back. Right there you can get your book called Draw the Circle. The power of the early church was rooted in prayer and discernment from the Holy Spirit. If the church today made itself more available to the power of the Holy Spirit, believe me, people would notice. The church would be led to speak to the real spiritual needs of people. And when the church starts doing that, people will start to listen. I like this story that I read about a bakery. This bakery was located in a very bad part of town. And this reminds me of a place in my seminary days. The bakery was small and run down, very nondescript. It didn't look like much from the outside, but at 5 a.m. every morning, the aroma of the bread just emanated from that bakery, and people would line up around the block to get their hands on that bread. And that's a parable for us as the church. It's not about appearances. It's not about gimmicks. It's about offering the bread of life. People are so spiritually hungry that all we have to do is offer the bread of life with passion, with authenticity, and they will come from all over to taste it. Does the sweet smell of Christ emanate from your life? Are you sharing your witness? Are you letting your light shine? Unavoidably, as Christians, we are called to bear witness. To testify to the hope that is within us, to tell people about Jesus, to make disciples. Now, that may scare some of you to death, and it scares me, but take heart and listen closely. It is only by the grace of God that you are able to bear witness. You don't do it on your own power. This is why Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with us, empowering us, equipping us, and sending us to share the good news. I know he is. I remember preaching at a youth camp one summer, and the worship service went really, really late. It was a long service, and I didn't get up to speak until about 11 p.m. at night. I think the children were half asleep by the time I stood up there. And on top of that, I had the flu. And it was the last service of the week. I couldn't get out of it, but I don't know what I said. I was so sick. I was just trying to get through it. So I thought this had to be the worst sermon that I ever preached. But after the service, a teenage girl came up to me, and she looked angry and upset, and she said, "I have to find out if something is true." And I said, well, what? And she said, "You mentioned tonight that God loves me. Do you believe that?" "I don't believe anyone has ever loved me," she said. "My dad left me and my mother abused me and I moved from one institution to another. I've been sexually abused and neglected, and you're trying to tell me that God loves me?" I looked into her eyes and I said, "That's right. I know this for certain. God does love you. And you want to know how I know? God got up on a cross and said, 'This is how much I love you.'" She paused and the tears began to roll down her face. And she said, "Well, if God loves me, then nothing else matters. If God loves me, that's all that matters. That's all that matters." Deep down, you know there are people all around you who need the love and forgiveness and grace and power and strength and comfort of God in Jesus. So give me one good reason why you wouldn't want to share that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, give us new eyes to see those around us who need your love. Give us new hearts to be sensitive to those who need your love. And give us the courage we need to share your love. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing "Celebrate Jesus."
grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. And as you leave this place, go in His peace. Amen.